Redbeard's Outfitter is a Mobile, Alabama-based outfitter offering a carefully curated selection of gear and apparel, outfitting you for your next adventure, exploring our world, and building community. We love this local store, and we love supporting folks like them who are building community in the outdoor space. Plus, they have some spectacular apparel for Alabamians and all the gear anyone would need to be ready to enjoy the outdoors. Use promo code TSO for a 20% discount online or visit them in store. Visit redbeardsoutfitter.com for more information. This is The Storied Outdoors, a podcast somewhere between Lewis and Tolkien and Lewis and Clark, finding clarity in the stories we tell and the adventures that shape us. Well, my name is Brad Hill, and this is Brian Gill. We had thanks for the introduction. Richie almost teared up a little over there.
Yeah, I did. I did too.
Very kind. Very kind of you, but. And we're so thankful to be here and honored to be here that you would have us come and share. I grew up in Monroeville, Alabama, but I live in Mobile and have lived in Mobile longer than I've lived in Monroeville. I've lived there for over 20 years there. I serve as a family pastor and pastor of missions at Mars Hill Church in Mobile and have been there in some capacity for the better part of 20 years. I've grown up there, grown up as a pastor and a minister and a dad and a husband there at that church. They're my people. That's my place. And but they allow me to come and do things like this and to do things like this podcast. We're recording tonight live, and our phones, I promise, we're not looking at text messages. We have our notes so that we stay on target and stay on track tonight on our phone. But we're recording this evening a podcast episode that will air this season, later this season. So welcome to The Storied Outdoors. We're so glad to be here. So you guys can clap, and that'll sound really cool on the podcast. There we go. But, man, we're to be here at Brookwood Baptist Church at a wild game supper. Brian, I'm looking out at all these tables that have beautiful taxidermy and a great story with a great fox. Brian, you got a great story for a fox. That's on the podcast, so you can go back and listen to that. Mm-hmm. Shameless plug. But, man, thanks for showing the film. Man, the guys at In Color Films, it's a long story as to how we met them, but they did that with us. And when they showed up, I didn't really realize how serious they were about doing this film with us. And they showed up and pulled out this amazing gear, and they really made a dream of ours really come to life in a way that we were blown away. When we saw the final product, I was just astounded. And man, the Lord has really used that film to speak to people all over the world. We've gotten messages from people from England, from New Zealand, from all over the U.S. commenting on the film and their love for fishing, but also how the Lord has used the outdoors to minister to them. But that really is a summation of the podcast and what we do and what our goal with the podcast is.
Yeah, the podcast started in 2020. I think a lot of podcasts started in 2020, and we're thankful that we're still going.
Got nothing to do.
Yeah. Hey, I got
a microphone. Some microphones.
Let me call my friend. But we were on our way up to the Blue Ridge Mountains to fish on the Toccoa
River.
Yeah, and we were listening to John Gierach, a collection of essays on the way, just to kind of get our mind right for some of the things that we're going to be doing, fishing and things like that. And on the way back, we started thinking, kind of brainstorming a little bit, thinking, you know, we could tell stories. We have stories to tell. You know, not John Gierach. I mean, we're not saying we're at his level. He's incredible. But we have stories. And you know, Brad's in ministry. I have a ministry background and a couple of ministry degrees. And we're just thinking, what if we combine this idea of faith and the outdoors? And we ended up landing on The Storied Outdoors, and we kind of threw around a few taglines and came up with one that Brad was a little hesitant at first about. And it's The Storied Outdoors is a podcast somewhere between Lewis and Tolkien and Lewis and Clark. And
I was like, man, that's some heavy hitters.
We're swinging for the fence.
We're swinging hard, but I'm afraid we're going to whip. You can write, and I cannot. I can talk. But,
yeah.
But those, I think I was more fearful of being trying to say we're going to write like those guys. We like their stories, and we'll reference those guys. But we're not trying to say we're writers like Lewis. No, and
that Tolkien. Gave us a little bit of wiggle room because you know we have the faith component with Lewis and Tolkien, absolutely. And then the outdoors with the Lewis and Clark, yeah. And the adventure. And we started thinking about this this idea of collecting these stories and telling them on the podcast. And the first thought that came to my mind was, I want my children to hear these stories. If nobody else listens to our podcast, mm-hmm. if our children can have these stories recorded in a way that would be a treasure for them one day, it'd be all worth it. And we started thinking about our fathers. My father passed away in 2018. Yours is in 2019. Yeah. And the stories that we wish that we could just hear our dad's voice one more time and hear those stories that they told us for years and years and years. And I mean, they're imprinted in my mind, but it would be something to have that from his voice that he could have passed down to us. And so we're wanting our children to have that. And so that's kind of why we do this. That's our why. We want to have these stories recorded, and we want to encourage other people.
Yeah, so we have stories, but we know other people have lots of stories too.
Yeah.
And so we could incorporate having a little bit of both. So some are essays and some are interviews with people. So I spent the weekend up here this weekend. I came up from Mobile on Friday, and we've done some in-person, which are way more enjoyable for me to do an in-person conversation versus something over Zoom. But Zoom has also afforded us the opportunity to speak to people that we would never have access to because they're not really out. They don't have to travel. They're not really out anything. They can sit in their office at their home, and they can promote, you know, whether it's a book from Charles Martin mm-hmm. or Patty Callahan Henry or, you know, or Andrew Peterson, the musician mm-hmm. who wrote a wonderful book, who's from, lives up in Nashville. They get to promote their book, and we get to have a great conversation. So we do a lot of those over Zoom, but this weekend we've done some wonderful ones in person and done a few of those over the course of 100, our 100th episode was this past season, and we did that in person with an incredible character named Jimbo Metter, who's become a friend. And if you haven't listened to that, man, I promise it's worth your time. Go back and listen to Jimbo and Jimbo Metter stories. But we love these stories that we're sharing and hope, you know, the bar has been set really low. Our kids are the only ones we thought would listen to them, but it's gone much past that. I mean, even this video has been viewed 40,000 times or more now at this point. And so that's mind-blowing to me. That, I mean, I grew up in Monroeville, Alabama with a sprawling a group of people of about 7,000, which dropped when Vanity Fair left to about 3,500. So 40,000 people watched that film was like, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of Monroevilles.
To this little guy. So, man, the Lord has done incredible things with just a little, our faithfulness, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of it. So what we always say is we hope this inspires people, encourages people to share their own stories and write down these adventures in the place we call the storied outdoors, right?
I'm not from Mobile. Brad's from Mobile. I live in Homewood, and I work at Samford University. And my role at Samford is the director of faith, learning, and vocation. And so I help faculty members to incorporate their faith into their teaching at Samford. It's an honor. And one of the things we talk about in that vocation is to understand your own story. One of your own members, Brian Pitts, has been very influential and in this whole endeavor of helping us to identify our this importance of reflection and remembering so that we kind of know where we are. So that's kind of where we wanted to kind of encourage you all tonight. You know, there's a theme throughout the Bible. This theme is of this word zakar. It's a Hebrew word, and it shows up a lot, and it means to remember. And that this idea of remembering and not living in the past, not living in the good old days, you know, but it's this idea of remembering that is associated with a future action. And so it's a looking back to be able to move forward. Mm. I always think of it like pulling back a rubber band, and you pull back, then you let it go and it goes forward. But it's this beautiful word, and you see it throughout the Old Testament. You see, you know, when God says, do this, you know, remember me, remember the Lord, remember the Lord. All of these major events kind of are surrounded by this word zakar. Mm-hmm. And it's a really rich word. I would encourage you to look it up and see how many times in the Old Testament that word is associated with a really major event that God wants his people to remember. When God does something big, he tells his people, remember this. This is important.
In fact, I would venture to say that all of the feasts of the Lord that you find in the book of Leviticus, whether it, chiefly Passover, it would be the one that would come to mind, is Passover is all about remembrance, remembering the Lord bringing them out of Egypt, right? Whether it's Feast of Trumpets or Feast of Tabernacles, right? Feast of Tabernacles is celebrating and remembering mm-hmm. God dwelling with them in the wilderness. So they had this art. I mean, I've heard a rabbi call it the art of remembrance. Mm-hmm. And the Jews had it, really had it down. And the people of Israel had all kinds of things over and over throughout their lives that says, remember. Like you see, if you ever see like a Messianic Jew that will have tassels, anybody ever seen those? They'll have tassels. And each of those knots and each of those things help them remember something mm-hmm. that God has done. They'll have a thing on their door, their doorpost. It's called a mezuzah, and it's a small cylinder that has a scroll of Deuteronomy 6. Hear Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. When they leave their home, they touch that, and they remember Zakar, that the Lord is one.
Mm. You know, we see this played out, this physical thing of remembering. We talked to a man today in North Alabama, talked about if he could do one thing over again. Now, this is a prolific outdoor writer, one of the most accomplished outdoor writers we've ever met. I don't want to drop the name because I don't know when this is going to air, but
it'll be after. Yeah. So this will be one of the later ones.
But he said if he could do anything differently, he would journal more and he would remember these ideas that would be more freshly imprinted in his mind. So if he would go on these trips, he would journal everything that he had seen and anything that he could recall more closely to the time of the action so that he could better tell that story and leave that as a legacy. He even said he wanted to leave that as a legacy to his children.
Yes.
And so this idea of doing something in a way of remembering really makes me think of the story of Joshua and the 12 stones that were taken from the river. And just Joshua 4, 20 through 22 says, "And those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan," so this was when the Israelites were going to cross the Jordan. So, and they did, and Joshua said, "Each of your 12 tribes, take one stone." And this was the purpose behind that. It said, "Joshua set up at Gilgal, and he said to the people of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry land.'" And so this physical thing that is done to remember the goodness of God and the mm-hmm. faithfulness of God. We chose the storied outdoors because we have a lot of outdoor stories. Yeah. It doesn't have to be outdoor stories,
right?
You know, and it doesn't have to be this amazing hunt in New Zealand for red stag. I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
But you know, one of my favorite stories is sitting in the backyard with my daughter in my lap, and we're identifying birds. And that was a memory that I don't want to forget. Mm-hmm. And I don't want her to forget it. So
this is central to Israel, but ultimately central to us as believers mm-hmm. is Deuteronomy 6, right? So I referenced it earlier, but Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, right? But he goes on and he talks about how remember these things, teach these things. Let me read Deuteronomy 6, "And these words I command you," the Lord says, "today shall be on your heart, that you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them as you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on your doorpost." That's where the Shema and the mezuzah comes from. Write them on your doorpost. They're following through with the commands, and they remember. This is how they shared life. This is how you share life, is by sharing your stories, remembering not only what God's word says, but how God has taught you.
Mm. Yeah, and that's kind of where on our podcast, that's where we kind of make the turn to, let's bring this home to the faith element. You know, you've told us these amazing stories. You've given some amazing fishing stories or hunting stories or all of this. But then we ask this question: where have you seen God's truth, beauty, and goodness in the outdoors? Mm. How have you experienced God through these adventures? And man, sometimes we get some of the richest answers from these men and women who are able to kind of, maybe for the first time, think about their stories in a way that's more formative to their faith story than they have before. So we consider it a real privilege to be able to have these conversations with people. And one thing that they always tell us is that they just love what we're doing, because that idea of like oral tradition is kind of lost. You know, we're losing that. Everything's digital, and everything, you know, nobody hardly reads anymore. You know, so it's this idea of just carrying on these stories that are getting lost. I want to do a quick experiment, and indulge me if you can. If you're 40 or under, raise your hand. Okay. All right, man, look around. If you're older than 40, look around. I'm in that older than 40 crowd, so I'm looking. Okay. You can put your hands down. Thank you. These guys who are 41 and up, those guys who just raised their hands, they need you. They need you to tell your story. They need you to tell the stories of God's faithfulness in your life. Because whenever they're going to go through things that are hard and their world's crumbling down, they're going to need to know that they can make it through it just like you did. Hmm. There's a quote that Andrew Peterson is in his song, We Will Survive. It says, so tell me the story I still need to hear. Tell me about the sun that's going to rise again. I need to know there's nothing left to fear. There's nothing left to hide. So will you look me in the eye and say we will survive? Hmm. Men, we need more. We need to be having conversations more than just our political opinions and our sports opinions. Let's get deeper and talk about the things that matter, the things of God, the ways that God has used you and the things that you've experienced in a way that only you can tell. I hear that there's going to be some amazing things done with Richie and a podcast. Tell those stories. Don't let those go to waste. Don't let those things slip by without passing them on to the younger generations.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lie that you hear whispered in your ear that no one really cares, that no one's going to listen to you, or my story doesn't matter. But it really does. It matters much more than you can imagine. And we didn't think anyone would listen. You know, the videos has gone a long way, but the podcast, I mean, I'm finding all the time about guys that listen. And I was like, I have no idea who that is. Mm-hmm. That's really cool that they found out about it. And then we hear, man, God really spoke to me through this episode or that episode, or really challenged me, or that episode made me laugh in a time I really needed to laugh. And I think sometimes it doesn't have to be all serious, right? Sometimes it's wonderful to have a good laugh, because that's good medicine. We talk about we were talking just a while ago about like duck hunting, and part of the joy of duck hunting is talking in the blind, is laughing and telling stories and sharing life together, the fun around the fire. Often we refer to the podcast as a digital campfire. Like, you sit around the fire and you share your favorite stories. Sometimes they have deep purpose, and they're like, they're wrought with metaphor and lessons learned. I mean, Jesus, I mean, can you imagine? Let's stop for a second. One, Jesus cooked fish and loaves for the disciples. Those were awesome. Much like our food this evening was awesome.
Amen.
Amen. But then what were the stories like around the fire? We see such a small glimpse of the life of Jesus and the disciples, but they lived life together. They didn't hop in cars to go somewhere. They walked everywhere. We've talked about it before. There's a book by a Japanese writer, Kasugi Koyama. Did I say that right, Richie? I think I said that right. Yes.
Nailed it.
Practiced it a lot. But he wrote a book called The 3-Mile-an-Hour God. That most of the ministry that Jesus did was done at 3 miles an hour, which is the average walking speed of a human. And that they were sitting around fires in the evening. They didn't have lights to turn on. They were sitting around the fire. That's where oral tradition carries on. That's where stories matter. And then that's how Jesus taught. Jesus teaches with metaphor. Jesus teaches with parable, right? What's that old preacher saying? A heavenly, you know, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? This, we're looking at something mundane like farming, and we're finding rich truth to go, this is how I've learned about God. And so when you're outside, whether it's duck hunting or deer hunting or just walking on a nature trail, there's opportunity for you to observe. I mean, you go back to Romans 1, right, where we don't have an excuse because look at creation. Look at that wood duck there. You think that was a mistake or that was an accident? No, that has so much purpose there. And so creation is wrought with look at God's fingerprints and how he's created all that we see, but also how we learn to live.
Yeah, you know, when you reflect and when you start to journal and you start to look at the world in a way that you become more observant and you start to see the hand of God more clearly in your life, and sometimes you can see it in other people's lives before they mm-hmm. see it. And so being in an intergenerational room like we are tonight, having young men look up to the older men and then the older men pouring into the lives of the younger men, that is vital for the health of a church. It is important that we realize the responsibility that we have to pour into the younger men. You know, that is something that if you're not getting the words of wisdom and the words of God's faithfulness, then where are those younger men going to get it from? Mm-hmm. You're their community. You're their storytellers. You're the oral tradition carry oners. You know, I just made that word up. I'm going to nail it.
Carry oners.
Carry oners. Okay. Put that one on a sticker.
We'll do it.
All right. But no, it's important that we kind of, I think that, you know, I'm 42 and I've seen this kind of transition that I feel like people miss. I think my dad may have even missed it. He didn't assume that responsibility of recognizing the opportunity to kind of be as old as he is. You know, he didn't see the opportunity as a 65-year-old man to be that 65-year-old man and say, you know what, I've lived a lot of life. I'm going to pour in to a younger man. He did. He poured his life into me. He poured his life into other guys at a later age. But like, I think that we need it earlier. I think these younger guys need it now. You don't, you know, if you're 40, 45 years old, 50 years old, 60, start now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we see it modeled in the life of Paul. Imitate, you know, me as I imitate Christ. Mm-hmm. It's so valuable that we have people in our lives that we're pouring into, but they're also pouring into us. I mean, if anybody remembers the old Promise Keepers series, you guys remember that? I went to one of those as a young man, and I remember being in the old Georgia Dome, which is no longer there, with 60,000 men worshiping, which was incredible to hear 60,000 men singing the praises of our King. But I remember one of the guys, one of the only parts of a sermon I remember there was a guy saying, every man needs two guys in his life, a Timothy that he's pouring into and a Paul that's pouring into him. Mm-hmm. And I've never forgotten that, even from a young age. And so one of our challenges this evening is that you would find somebody that you're pouring into, but you would also find someone to pour into you. No matter how old you are, you can always learn something, right? Mm-hmm. We can always continue to learn. We've never found a place where we're like, I've studied the Bible, I'm done, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's always more to know about Scripture. But so much of that really sinks in deeply when it's wrapped in story, when it's wrapped in experience. When I sit down with couples that have, you know, newborn kids and they're exhausted, you know, and I can go, you know what, it's going to be all right. You're going to make it. You're doing a great job. It's not going to last forever, you know. It's really hard, isn't it? And they go, yes, it's so hard. Everyone's telling me that being a parent's the greatest thing in the world, but this is really hard. And I can go, yes, it is really hard, but it's good, right? And we need to have those real discussions. Vulnerability. That's one of the things in the video with one of the guys there. Like, he shares his heart. He shares vulnerability. And that's something that's really scary, but it's something that we need, is to share what's going on in our lives, even the bad stuff, even where we've messed up. Charles Martin, I really love Charles Martin. He was on one of our episodes. Charles, the novelist. And he just really was vulnerable in the episode about how he had messed up with losing his temper, I think it was, about something in their lives, or this farm that they had, he'd gotten stressed out and he really just lost his temper. He's sitting there with his sons and just talking about how he had to stop. He had to apologize. Man, there's nothing, there's no greater testimony, there's no greater teaching to your children or to anyone around you if you have the humility to stop and go, I messed that up. I'm sorry. Or to say, hey, here's where I messed up. And to share that vulnerability, that's a greater lesson than any theological point that you could drive home with any of the men around you. They're going to get that. But to hear that humility, to see that modeled, and to hear that through story, whether it's hunting or fishing or whether anything in the outdoors, that's why we kept it super vague, is we can talk about lots of things, but just life in general. Share your stories. That's the thing we end with, is we hope these stories encourage you to share your own adventures and write your own stories in the place we call the storied outdoors.
Yeah, and you may not know where to start. You may not know where to start to help someone else or to share that story. The place I would start is in your own life. You know, figure out, you know, what is God doing in your own life? Look back and look at the big times that God has done something amazing, or he's gotten you out of a situation, or he's moved you from this place to this place. And start looking at your own story. Because, you know, I got a GPS when I was in college. And it was one of the first handheld GPS. And so I was reading in the instructions. And the instructions say, it had this thing called breadcrumbs. You could just kind of find where you were going and all this. It said, remember to mark your starting point, because you can know the exact point in this world where you are and still be lost. If you don't mark your starting point, if you don't know where you came from, you're not going to know how to get to where you're going. And so just think about, if you're starting from square one, think about God's faithfulness in your own life and then share that with somebody.
Yeah, and you guys are this is what this is for. I love this stuff. This is what I do with things like this with the men at my church. For me, one of the things, I like big events, but also like small events. I'm sort of an aim small, miss small kind of a guy. And I love smaller groups of guys. So, like, coming up in a few weeks, me and seven other guys, there's eight of us going in total. I'm taking to Gatlinburg to fly fish for the first time. They're all going to learn. I'm teaching them a little bit, and they want to experience fly fishing in Gatlinburg. And so we're going on that trip, that whole trip, the drive up there, the time around the fire, the time around the dinner table, the time in the water. All of that will have intentional discussions that I'll lead and just have conversations. It can be as simple as that, or sitting around these tables this evening sharing one funny story or one story from your time in the woods or on the water or your time on the golf course. Well, it doesn't have to be just like wild game centric, right? It can be any kind of story, man. It's really fun to share those, because you're sharing life. You're sharing life lessons that are valuable. For me, it's like my dad would say, hey, listen, I promise. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to save you some pain and sorrow, right? I've been there before. And so sometimes we haven't been there before, and we need to hear you've been there before so that you can help us avoid something that maybe we're running headlong into, perhaps. Those stories matter. Your stories matter. And this time together is wonderful. So great job. Keep this kind of stuff going, and that's what builds real rich community.
Thank you all for the opportunity for us to come and speak a little bit tonight and share a little bit what's on our hearts and be a part of the story to outdoors with us.
Thanks, guys.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take some time to leave us a review, or better yet, share it with a friend. We hope these stories encourage you to write your own stories and share your own adventures in the storied outdoors. Redbeard's Outfitter is a Mobile, Alabama-based outfitter offering a carefully curated selection of gear and